you get to hear two friends talk about sports from a fan's perspective.
Week by week, we will be discussing score predictions, breaking sports news, your very own Trojan sports, and your favorite big-time teams.
Join us every Tuesday to hear us learn more about sports and give our spin on the modern-day sports talk show, right here on 90.5 WKHS.
Welcome back, everybody, to Fan Cam Sports Talk Show, where two friends get to give their opinion on sports. I'm so excited to be here this morning. I'm Peter, joined by my co-host, Andrew. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing today?
I am good. I'm super excited. We have a lot of sports to cover, so I think we should jump right in with our Trojan sports that are slowing down until the winter. So give us our update on the Trojan sports.
Yeah, so we only have one Trojan sports activity this week. Cross country goes to Hereford High School this Saturday for the state championship meet.
And Andrew won't brag about it, but I will. Andrew is on the cross-country team, but this is the first time in a while that both the boys and the girls team have went to state. So I think it's a super big accomplishment for them. They should be very proud. You guys got, what, second in regionals too?
Yes, the boys got second, and the girls were regional champions.
Yeah, so they had a really good season. You know, even if states don't go their way, they still had an amazing season. But jumping right into the NFL, I'll let you talk about this one because you don't get to talk about these often, so you can go ahead with that Thursday night game.
Yeah, so the Ravens played on Thursday night. Lamar Jackson is back after he suffered a hamstring injury, which caused him to miss four games earlier this season. But he was back, and he definitely, you can tell he is not 100%, but he still showed up and put on a big performance on the road. He was in front of his hometown. He had a bunch of family and friends at the game, and he threw four touchdown passes in this game, and the Ravens got a dominant win. 28-6 was the final.
Yeah, and I think a game that me and Andrew both mentioned we were looking forward to this week, the Vikings versus the Lions. The Lions have been on a tear before this week. They were 5-2, looking good. This was their first loss at home, so before this, they were 3-0 at home, and it was really looking like, you know, this was a Lions win. The Vikings were a little shaky to start the season, being 3-4 going into this game. So it looked like, you know, the Lions could win this one because they've been extremely good the past few weeks. But J.J. McCarthy coming back really shows that when you have your quarterback, it could really make a difference. And this Vikings team by no means was a bad team going into this game. It just looked like the Lions were a better team. But clearly, the Vikings came out and proved that they were the better team this week, and they were able to get this one 27-24 and put their record at 4-4.
A game that was much closer than many people expected. The Atlanta Falcons traveled and played the New England Patriots, and the Patriots have been doing very good this year. They came into this game with a 6-2 record. The Falcons have been living up to their expectations that they have been one of the bottom teams in the NFL these past couple of seasons, and it seems that trend's going to continue this year. They still can't find the right fit to get a bunch of wins put together, but they did put up a pretty good performance in this one, but it was just barely not enough as the Patriots were able to get a one-point win. 24-23 was the final.
Yeah, and another team that was 6-2 going into this week and that has been on a rampage against a lot of teams that they've played. Another unexpected team that is doing well, like the Patriots. You know, they aren't bad, but they weren't performing super highly last year. But these two quarterbacks, both younger quarterbacks, and Mac Jones, you know, a lot of people saw him, or not Mac Jones, Drake May, a lot of people saw him as like kind of like not a bust, but you know, not super high level. And I think it was the same thing for Bo Nix last year with the Broncos, but he's been able to turn around this Broncos team. They were able to squeak out a win against the Texans, who haven't been good this year, but they advanced their record to 7-2 as Bo Nix was able to get two touchdowns and win this game 18-15.
A very electrifying, high-scoring affair on Sunday was between the Chicago Bears and the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Bengals still without Joe Burrow, but they do have Joe Flacco, who put together a great performance. He threw for four touchdowns, or maybe five, I can't remember the exact number, but he put on a great performance, and the Bengals were down by 14 points at the two-minute warning, and they were able to climb back and tie it up, but the Bears got a late touchdown to go ahead and win this game. The Bears get a 47-42 victory in the most high-scoring game of the weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, Joe Flacco had almost 500 yards. He had 470. So the thing that a quarterback got 470 yards and four touchdowns and still ended up losing kind of shows that maybe it's the defense's fault, but both teams aren't awfully high-powered defenses. And another team that has been, I think, shocking recently, this Panthers team, 5-4 right now. A lot of people saw them as like one of those teams that were pretty bad, and like if your team is playing them that week, then it's looking good for you guys. But this Panthers team has been able to rack up five wins so far this year and really show that they aren't one of those teams that can kind of just get ran over like they used to be last year. And it shows playing this Packers team who has the new addition in Micah Parsons in that high-level defense. But the Panthers were still able to whittle out a win to 16-13 as they get to advance their record to 5-4.
Two teams in the AFC that seem like they always battle it out. They have this big rivalry. They played each other 10 times in the past 5 years. And this game was no different than the previous matchups. The Kansas City Chiefs traveled to Buffalo to take on the Bills, both teams that are atop the AFC this season, as they normally are. And the Bills were able to get a victory in this one, and they won 28-21.
Yeah, and we had another team who has been on a burner recently, this Indiana Colts team. Similar to the Broncos and the Patriots, who, you know, historically are pretty good, but like the past couple years haven't been great. Getting new quarterback in Daniel Jones, they've been able to run through a lot of teams, especially with their high-powered offense. And especially as a Steelers fan, going into this week, our defense hasn't been what it usually is. You know, we're letting up almost like 40 points to certain teams, which isn't usually how the Steelers defense goes. And Daniel Jones has had three interceptions in the past 8 weeks before going into this week. So I was really nervous. And then the Steelers were able to start to play defense and cause three interceptions against Daniel Jones. So it really shows, is it Daniel Jones who was kind of just getting lucky and, you know, scraping by, or was it the Steelers' high-powered defense? But either way, causing those three interceptions were the way that the Steelers were able to win this one with a 17-point second quarter, and they were able to get the win 27-20 against the number one seeded Colts.
A Sunday night football game that was not as close as people might have hoped. The Seattle Seahawks took on the Washington Commanders in D.C., and the Seahawks dominated the Commanders. Jaden Daniels was back, but then he left the game late with another injury. So that's an interesting storyline for the Commanders quarterback, as he has not been able to play many games this season. So we'll have to see how the Commanders season shapes out. But the Seahawks were able to get the win 38-14.
In a Monday night football game that probably not many people tuned into, the Cardinals versus the Cowboys, both teams who have been struggling this year. Cowboys seem to not be able to get their footing, and the Cardinals still a younger team with not many high-powered pieces to put together, but it was still a good game, and the Cardinals were still able to take down the Cowboys as they won 27-17. And Andrew, looking into the next week, there's a lot of very good games to look forward to. What's one that you're looking forward to?
Probably the Monday night football game between the Eagles and Packers. I think this is going to be a very high-scoring game. Both teams are going to battle it out. But I do think, since the Packers just took a tough loss to the Panthers, they're going to be out to try to prove themselves, and this one is in Green Bay. So I have a feeling that the Packers might beat the Eagles.
Yeah, and I mean, there's two games that I'm super excited to look forward to. There's Ravens-Vikings game. The Ravens just getting back Lamar Jackson. I think this is a perfect time. He was able to get one game in him before facing a high-level team like the Vikings. And the Vikings getting a win over the Lions really sets their footing into potentially propelling into a high-seeded team later on into the the season. And then also the Patriots versus the Buccaneers. Buccaneers coming off of a bye week, so they're nice and rested up. But the Patriots have been able to rack up a couple wins in a row. So I definitely am excited to see the Patriots-Buccaneers game because they're just two high-powered teams who are trying to make a run for the Super Bowl. But switching over from for NFL to go to college, we had a lot of interesting games. I think the biggest storyline was this Vanderbilt-Texas game. Vanderbilt has been doing extremely well the past couple weeks, and this Texas team fell off and then is starting to claw their way back. And Vanderbilt was, I think, the favorite going into this game, both teams being ranked, but it really just shows that it doesn't matter how well you are. If you're a top 25 team, you can really compete with the best. And it really shows with this Texas team taking down number 9 Vanderbilt, 34-31. I think that was the most exciting game for me. Which games were you watching, Andrew, that had you on the edge of your seat?
Well, I did watch the Indiana-Maryland game, which was not a close game at all. Indiana, as expected, continued to dominate. They were able to beat Maryland 55-10. But a game that I kept on seeing score updates about was this Georgia-Florida game. Florida obviously lost their head coach 2 weeks ago, and they had a bye. So this was their first game back since losing Billy Napier. And Florida almost knocked off number 5 Georgia. They put together a great performance, and I think that's something to watch out for, that Georgia might not be as dominant as people think.
Yeah, and there were two big upsets within the top 10 of the AP poll, and it started off with NC State knocking off the Georgia Tech Hornets 48-36, which I think Georgia Tech was a little highly rated. They have been good this season, but I haven't seen anything promising from them, and it shows going against realistically not even a football school in general, let alone one that is good and like one of the higher level unranked teams. But that loss going, you know, later into the weeks and almost into the playoffs isn't really a sight that you want to see. And then also Miami losing to SMU by a touchdown in overtime is another one of those games. They're a top 10 team that you shouldn't be losing this late in conference play to one of those unranked teams that doesn't really do too well. And then two teams that were both unranked but is still an upset within the ACC. Clemson, that used to be one of those teams that you were expecting to see every year. You know, it used to be like Clemson and Bama, Clemson, LSU, LSU, Bama. Just teams that you consistently see. But they've fallen off a little bit, but they're still one of those like higher level, like top 30 teams. And they took a loss to Duke this past weekend. So a lot of upsets happening within the college world late. But taking a look into these next couple weeks, Andrew, there's a lot of good SEC play, a lot of good ranked teams playing against each other. What is one game that you're looking forward to?
You mentioned SEC play. Texas A&M, who's number 3 in the country right now, goes to Missouri, who's number 19. I think that's going to be a very good game to watch. But also this Oregon-Iowa game. Iowa, a team that's not ranked, but on the verge of breaking that top 25, and is fighting to make a late push for maybe a playoff spot. And a Oregon team that's been pretty good, but has to go on the road to Iowa, and that is not an easy place to go into and win. So I think that's going to be a very close game.
Yeah, and I'm talking about how, you know, these ranked teams play within, you know, the later times of the year. It really shows, you know, your top 7, your teams who have been consistently good day in and day out. You know, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, and Ole Miss all stay at the same spots in the top 7. Your top 3 haven't taken a loss at all this year. Two Big Ten teams, and Indiana and Ohio State. So it really shows that, you know, the teams that are good won't lose late. So your middle of the pack AP poll teams that have taken your losses, right? Like your Vanderbilts, your Georgia Techs that dropped, and your Florida's dropped eight spots, and 6 spots. And then you have some late risers, right? Oklahoma's up to 11 now, moving up 7 spots. Texas up back into the top 15 as they jumped up 7 spots. Virginia's going up too. Louisville's up. So a lot of these teams are making these late pushes, and I think those losses around here for like Florida, Georgia Tech really hurt because you have to either see if these other teams in the top 10 are going to lose, which realistically probably not unless it's one of those SEC teams playing against each other. But realistically, like the Big 12 isn't super competitive outside of the top three, you know. So I really think it'll be tough for those teams to claw their way back. But I do think that it is possible, but we just got to see going in later. And then, Andrew, we did have the MLB World Series wrap up, so baseball is done for a couple months until spring training starts. But can you give us a little breakdown on how the World Series championship went?
Yes, so the Los Angeles Dodgers are your 2025 World Series champions. This series went to 7 games, and the Dodgers were able to get a 5-4 victory in the 11th inning. This game went into extra innings, and it was a very good series. The Blue Jays were very good, but they just didn't have what it took late in the game, and the Dodgers go back-to-back for the first time since the Yankees did that in the 2000 season.
Thank you, Andrew. That will do it for us this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you are new and want to listen to old episodes, you can head over to anywhere you find podcasts, and we will be there with our past episodes. If you do want to hear the next time we go on, it'll be Tuesday at 8:30 like we are every week. Hope everybody is going to have an amazing day. It was an amazing show. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will see you guys next week.